That's such a good starting question, Tegan. We are, from an evolutionary perspective, change is hard. From an evolutionary perspective, we want things to remain the same. We want things to be predictable. So one of the things that's inherently rewarding to the brain is certainty. And when you think about change, that's the absence of certainty. So it is hard for us to change. And even if it's a change that you're in control of, and have you ever moved house and then discovered one day, a couple of months later, that you're halfway home to the old house?
Maybe.
It takes energy. Even if it's a change we want, it takes energy. And it's interesting, there are three change profiles. So this is the unconscious filtering that we put on change. It's sort of what motivates us around change. And the first one is a stabilizer profile. And so if you're a stabilizer, you are much more motivated in the status quo. You're wanting to maintain things the way they are now. And when you think about any change, your first thought is, what's going to stay the same? What's the relationship between what we're doing now and what we're going to be doing in the future? And things like tradition are really important. So you might be thinking about people that you know already that you think might fit into that category.
And then the second is?
The second's evolutionary. So evolutionaries are motivated by incremental change over time. So they're looking constantly tweaking things, constantly making small changes that are taking us in the right direction. And evolutionaries typically will stay motivated in the same role for 3 to 5 to 7 years, whereas a stabilizer can stay motivated in the one job for 7 or 10 years or more.
Wow. So the third then?
So the third is our revolutionaries. So revolutionaries are looking for big, significant change. So they're looking for things that are innovative, things that are exciting. They're going to say things like, let's shake this up here, you know, let's do something dramatically different. And our revolutionaries will stay motivated in the same role for 6 months up to about 3 years.
When we're the leader and we've got all those people in one room and we're trying to steer the boat in the one direction, how do we do that then?
Good question. Good question. And this is a question that I'm often asked when I work with leadership teams. Firstly, we need to understand our own profile, because that will influence how we see change and how we communicate change. So personally, I'm a revolutionary. If you and I start talking about things and you tell me about this great new idea you've got and it's really exciting and we're going to really push the boundaries, then I can almost get a physical response to that. I can feel my energy rising. So the first thing we need to do as leaders is know what's our profile. And so I know that I'm revolutionary. So I know I'm going to be using language like that. I'm going to be getting excited about that. And so I need to be aware that I need to consciously communicate to people who are more stabilizers, and to consciously communicate to people who are more evolutionary. So the first thing is to understand yourself. And then the second thing is to understand your audience. So if I give you a couple of examples, I've done quite a bit of work in the aged care sector, and there was a long period of time, decades, where not much changed in the aged care sector. And so we recruited people who wanted to stay in the same role for long periods of time and were motivated to do that. And then there was significant reform starting about 3 or 4 years ago and a lot of change. And so we had people, particularly at the front line, who were very much stabilizers, and yet we were trying to help them to make evolutionary changes, and that was destabilizing for them. So you need to understand your audience. Another organization that I've worked with is much more evolutionary in their approach, product development group, and so they are constantly looking at how can we tweak this, how can we change this, and so they're resistant to things staying the same. they're also resistant to big incremental changes that they see are dangerous.
Can a person be one and then morph into the other? So, for example, you might have been in the same job for a really long time doing the same thing over and over again, and you're happy and you're there, and then in comes someone with all of these brand new ideas. You're not necessarily going to be putting up brick walls, are you? You could become one of them.
You absolutely could. And the same when you have someone move into a different environment. So I was working with an organisation, local government, that's typically not revolutionary in nature. They're typically much more evolutionary or sameness. And they brought in a new IT manager, and it was a regional area. So they were really excited because they'd been able to recruit this really experienced IT leader who they thought could come in and help them change the way they thought about IT and really up the pace in terms of digitalisation of their business practices. From his point of view, he was excited because he'd worked in this really fast-paced environment and travelled to the city every day and then had young children and was really pleased about being able to do work that he really loved but closer to home. But it was just a disaster because he was a revolutionary. He was constantly talking about things on the bleeding edge and frightening all of his key stakeholders, and they wouldn't and couldn't engage with him. And so I was called in to help them. And when I helped him understand his own change profile, then he could immediately see that his stakeholders had a different change profile to him. And we just worked on helping him shift his motivation and shift his language so that he could survive happily and, more importantly, influence effectively in that environment. So we can definitely, these are preferences and they're based on the context and the time. So we can change preferences. Sometimes that happens without us consciously doing that, like in the example of the question that you just asked, and sometimes we need to do it consciously, like with this IT manager.
Awareness seems to be the key. You've got to be aware of you and the people around you.
Absolutely. You've got to be aware of you, you've got to be aware of the people around you. And then the third thing is you have to have the behavioural flexibility to be able to respond to them and not just to respond in a way that you want.
Can an evolutionary and a revolutionary be friends? Can they sit next to each other at a cubicle and make things work?
Yes, yeah. An example that I love is I think about a group that I worked with quite some time ago, and I paired them up. There was about 10 or 12 in this team, and it was actually an IT leadership team, and I paired them up according to people who were quite different, and I gave them a task to do, and there was two women who finished really quickly. I gave them like 5 or 7 minutes and they finished within two, and they said, "We finished, can we get a coffee?" Sure. And then there were two guys, everyone else progressively finished, and there were two guys that still weren't finished. I gave them a bit longer and they still weren't finished. I gave them a bit longer, and eventually I had to stop them. And it turned out that the two women had realised they'd only been working together for about 6 months. They'd realised how different they were, and they were leveraging that difference. They were bouncing off one another. And then when we got to debrief with the two guys, they didn't even know they were different. They just thought the other one was wrong. And where had they got into that exercise? They were still arguing about what the exercise was. They hadn't actually done it.
Oh, no.
So, yes, we can absolutely work with people who are different to us, but we need to do, it comes back to the awareness that you talked about before. We need that awareness because otherwise, I do like to be right. I don't like to be wrong. So when I see that you're different to me, if I know that I'm right and you're different to me, then you must be wrong. Mm. So it's that awareness that helps people realise that I'm not right and you're not right. We're just both different, and how do we access that?